Okay, we're recording. Hello, this is From Ground to Great, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. I am your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, and across from me is the legend, the one and only, Jack Carsell. How are you doing, man?
Great, thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, man, hell yeah. So, I used to have another podcast, and Jack was probably one of my first guests on there. I think you were my second guest ever on that other podcast that I had.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that? That was like what? That was 2 years ago?
Really? I was going to say at least a year. I'm not too sure.
I think 2 years, bro. Because this was definitely before I moved to Florida. And I was in Florida for like 2 years.
It was before, right before you went.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, a lot of time has passed. I was thinking about that last podcast as reference and... I don't know. It's going to be I'm excited to see how different it's going to turn out.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the other podcast was I'm kind of leaning more towards that again, just like more relaxed. This one's more, I guess, have some understanding and takeaway, which the same one did, the same principles of personal growth. And Jack's very entrepreneurial and also huge on personal growth. That's really like, man, I think we have one of the best talks from people I hang out with in general. I think Grant, that was on the podcast last time, you and, I'm trying to think of someone else, but I can't.
Joey Voss.
Well, he's a different kind. And so it's so great because this is why you do these podcasts. Cause there's so many different ways to look at the world. So many different rules that you're allowed to set, you know, your expectations of what you want to receive from what the world will give you. But I feel like you set these inputs in your brain, the universe understands it, and you will receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. So getting these different ideas from different people, and I'm sure Jack will definitely talk a little bit about the German philosophy. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah, it depends. But there's so many ways to look. I mean, it's dark. You know, German philosophy is pretty dark. Yeah, but I don't know a lot about it.
Yeah, when I was like about a year, when I was when I would say that I was depressed or, you know, upset or sad and whatnot, because I didn't want to like run from the feeling. I wanted to really experience it and understand it. So for a period, that's, you know, I was really open to the fact that, oh, life sucks. And that's when my mom gave me a book, which was a German philosopher.
Oh, not the right book, yeah?
it's actually a really good book if you are in that place, because in that place, you feel like you're alone, right?
Yeah.
And having somebody else say that, oh, hearing someone else's story that's even worse than yours makes you feel like it's not as bad as it is.
Yeah.
So that's one takeaway from it.
Yeah, I know. We were talking about that earlier, like getting out of the country and just seeing like how different life is outside of the United States. We're so lucky, and not a lot of people see it, you know? And I guess it's, again, the same mentality, the same mindset. And I liked how you touched up upon, like, it's nice to know that you're not alone. Like, there's other people in the same struggles as you, or worse.
Yeah, always. There's always someone worse.
Yeah, yeah. I was just talking to someone, I went hot tubbing last night, and I was saying, like, I'm pretty good at, once I hang out with people for a little bit, I'm able to get a good gauge of how they are and why they do the certain habits that they do, and maybe why, or make really good educated guesses as to why they do what they do based on maybe a history, and I can build an idea of what that history might be.
Yeah, I'm good at profiling as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I take pride in that, I think.
Yeah, it's a good skill. And I think it's one that takes you far, you know. It's important to be able to know who you're dealing with, especially when it comes to business, friends, life, You know, it's really important. Colleagues.
Yeah, right? Especially in business, because it's especially in a certain positions too. Like, I feel like you want to create businesses, and so do I, and that's just all networking, as everyone knows. So if you choose a bad business partner, I think most businesses will fail just because the partners don't work out. So yeah, that's super important to have a good gauge on if you can work with this guy, and even if you don't get along with him, if you know why he does certain things, you can anticipate that and adjust.
Yeah. And I think that's so important, because I think having a friendship is intimate. You expose yourself to vulnerability, and it's not always the case, because in the U.S., I think the word friend gets thrown around very loosely. Would you agree? As opposed to saying colleague, classmate. I know you don't throw it around lightly, but I think in general.
Kind of, but I mean, I feel like if you go to like other countries, they're like, my friend, brother, okay. Yeah. You know, okay, true, it's almost true. Even more of a camaraderie. Mm. And in America, right, it's like, oh, we're just associates, we're colleagues, we're you know, and there's a little bit more of a kind of a hierarchy, okay. Separation. Yeah. And so.
You know, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that the way that you described that, I definitely was able to recall stuff where that's very true.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important to separate those things, right? And I think there's nothing wrong with doing that. But it is also different, because you do go to these different places and it's so loving. You come to such a loving environment. They're like, oh, brother, or everyone in Mexico is like, oh, tío, tía, you know. Or, you know, uncle, which that's what it means, which is really cool.
Right. It's a very welcoming, and maybe it's too welcoming, because I was just thinking that in order, like, to improve, I think competition is essential.
Give me examples.
Thank you. Yeah. Because I was thinking of this, because when I was thinking back to my sports career in swimming, competitive swimming throughout high school.
That's right.
I was a distance swimmer, so I would do like the 500 and more, which is like a 5-minute race.
Mm.
And to break that 5-minute mark, you have to go under a minute for each 100, which is pretty difficult, at least for the average
individual. High schooler. Yeah, yeah.
So I was stuck there for a while, and I didn't think I'd ever break it. And then at this one swim meet, there was a guy next to me, and he was, I just looked down on him. Like, everything about this guy, I'm looking over to him, and I swam with the best people, like Luca Orlando. I swam with real prodigies. And for this once, I just decided I'm going to race this person. Because swimming, as they say, is an individual sport. You just got to, like, focus on yourself,
right? Yeah, keep
your head down. And that's all I really ever did. I never really thought. I just did it for exercise and stuff like that. But this one race, I decided, like, I'm not going to lose to this chump next to me. And because of that, I kept up with him the whole time. Just, like, kind of watched him. And I just... And then by, like, the last 100... I just kicked off. I'm like, yep.
Kicked into gear.
I'm like, I could keep up with this guy, and then now I got more in the tank.
Yeah.
And I ended up beating the 5-minute mark by 9 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah, which is, it was just like, I was just super happy, and I didn't know why, because I was just so happy that I got it. And I'm like, you know, I never got a huge improvement again, because I didn't really take swimming that seriously.
What about cross country?
I was gonna say, I think I had more of that attitude towards cross country.
Well, that's different, bro. He was, great coach. Yeah, great coach, but just the environment was just whack. I don't know. Yeah,
a little bit. Yeah.
I guess some of the kids were like, it's not like a. I guess I never felt like a really big bond with the team, because it was so big.
Yeah, it was big, and it's also like, kind of like inside circle, all those people that ran their whole life, and
true
the pasta feeds before the meat and stuff. Like, we were just kind of like more of the outsiders, I guess.
Yeah. So. Well, we were also there just to get the credits for
for PE.
For PE. But yeah, just the point being, I don't know, when you have someone to compete against, it just like something clicks in you, and then you exceed whatever you practice or anything. It's just unbelievable how having a rival, you will improve, and maybe that's why America has gotten to the heights it's gone, is we're just very competitive even within ourselves.
Yeah, well, it's based on the structure that was built upon
capitalism.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah. It's very healthy if you want progression.
I like to add on to that, and there is this statistic that I saw online, and I was like, yes, dude. So having a lazy person in your workplace significantly reduces the productivity of all the people around him or her or they, them, whatever.
Yep.
Same thing is the opposite. If there's something very productive and there's a workforce full of lazy people, they step it up. It's subconscious. Wow. So when, yeah, and it's crazy because you as a leader have to know how people are, and I would rather take someone with less experience but with drive, someone that's going to want to learn and absorb more stuff and be able to want to learn and grow, because all the people around me, maybe they're already used to all the old ways we do stuff, and we need something new and exciting, and we need their productivity levels to go up, and it's contagious. It's the same thing, principle that we talk about all the time. Show me the five friends that you hang out with the most, and I show you who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that principle is just, it's in like every self-help book that you can ever read, but it's the same rule that applies even in competition, like what you were saying. You put yourself in a space where everyone's fucking on this. Yeah, you can curse, by the way. Mm-hmm. Everyone's on this like competitive mindset. Everyone needs to grind and succeed. What are you gonna want to do? You gotta catch up. You can't be behind.
Yeah,
yeah.
You either fall off or you rise to the occasion.
Yeah, yeah. So it's great to be surrounded with people that are always pushing yourself, pushing your buttons. Not in a way that annoys you, but in a way you're like, I need to step it up. You know.
Well, I could help if that person, you know, that still could help.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's a pretty cool statistic, because it just relates to everything that we were talking about. So my question is, what do you think that mindset of competitiveness like that is with Michael Phelps? Like, do you think he also compares himself to different people when he's competing, or what do you think his mindset is like?
I really don't know. I mean, I haven't even heard him talk.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just, he's just an example of hard work, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, discipline. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an example of discipline. Just, you put in enough hours. I mean, I think it's just the greats, you know? Like, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant talks about this a lot. Michael Jordan. I mean, I'm just naming basketball people. But it's because I've heard interviews of them. They're like, yeah, if I'm able to wake up earlier, just an hour earlier before my competition, David Goggins too, if I can wake up earlier and these guys are still asleep, I'm winning. I'm putting in an extra hour that everyone's in their, you know, warm, comfortable beds, and I'm out here grinding, I'm running, or I'm shooting these, you know, I'm hitting all these shots, you know, for basketball, and I'm working my technique. And that gives you an edge just of time, and it compounds. Just like what Benjamin Franklin says, the most powerful thing we have in the United States is the power of compounding. And it's not just true in finance, but I think it's just true in life in general.
Oh, it definitely is.
And I've definitely seen so many examples of that in my life, where if you put in the work, even if it's like, you don't have to do that much work, but if you're consistent about it, you do one solid hour a day, yeah, you will grow quickly.
You will, and you will probably succeed, because not many people put in the work. So
yeah,
it's if you're just a little bit above average, you can succeed in whatever you want to do. So, and if you want to be the best, then you just, double it.
Yeah. You just got to put in more hours. I think that's what a lot of these people do. I saw this interview with Elon Musk, and he was like, you know what? Like, people look up to me and stuff, but I don't know if people really want to be me. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think the shit that goes on in his mind is, I mean, he's slightly on the spectrum, which gives him an advantage in a way, because he's able to think of ways and creative ways that we're not able to with our structured brain as it is already. And he says that he has all these thoughts that cloud his mind. Like, every time he's like just walking, it's like boom, 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 idea, just out of nowhere, you know? And I'm sure that's overwhelming, you know, especially when you have to do work down and sit down and get something done and focus on one thing, as opposed to like you trying to sit down and you're thinking about this like cat meme that you saw the other day, right?
That's why he has so many projects going on at once.
And I he's good at that.
Yeah,
he's great at that.
He's just using his brain to, instead of fighting the fact that, oh, I can't concentrate, I have so many thoughts, I can't do what I want to do. He's like, all right, maybe I'll do that. Let me clear my mind by actually, you know, satisfying my curiosity. And that way, like, you can go back to what you're doing with your full attention. And if that's what autism is, and I'm on the spectrum too, you know?
That's kind of like controversial, but you know, it's like I have my friend, one of my best friends growing up, and his brother's autistic, and you know, you can tell part of it is him being really flexible. You can put like his like he can put his leg all the way. I think you know what I'm talking about, right?
I don't know who, but I know.
Okay, so he's really lengthy, tall, you can put his leg behind his head and stuff, but man, is he so good with numbers? He's great with numbers, and he's so disciplined in like saving money and earning it over time. And I definitely think he's gonna do great things. I mean, it's the emotional factor of stuff where it's like, I mean, yeah, he's gonna have to work with like having to play, you know, and work well with people. Because that's a huge aspect of business and life, because we're social creatures. So we have to learn how to interact with society. And Elon Musk, I mean, I'm sure he had to kind of learn how to interact with society and be able to express his ideas to a way that they're so clear and concise of what his vision is for them to actually be able to execute it.
Well, so, you know, I guess you already said we're getting controversial. So autism, like, I don't know. I feel like any label, especially negative ones, people make it out to be that. Like something you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. Or something that's different or whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe those people, because isn't it a fucking trend these days to say, oh, I have ADHD, my brain,
Yeah, it is. It is getting really, I think it's being like people are just getting too misdiagnosed or using it as an excuse to not be able to get work done.
It's exactly that. It's just another label. They say, oh, my brain fires very quickly. Okay, yeah, the brain, I'm not saying it's supposed to, but maybe it's supposed to in our very, you know, fast-paced world.
Yeah.
And so it's either you can fall or you can rise.
Yeah.
And so the people that rose, the people that can deal with this mind, there's not that many of them, I guess. And then people label them autistic. They're like, whoa, you can figure out complicated math problems and you do all these weird things and you don't go along with societal norms. Like,
well, that's what you need in society, really.
What do you mean? You don't need it.
I disagree. I think those people that think in different ways are really the ones that are like pioneers of technology and are able to think in different ways that we're just not able to, you know, the average person.
Yeah, but maybe it's not different. It's just like they actually decided to think about what the thoughts are while everyone, they don't want to think. They're like, oh, it's too overwhelming.
Mm.
It's just blah, blah, blah.
Yes, I've heard that.
And they ignore
too.
It. And then you just become very like, oh, what's the show going on? And stuff like that. And so that's what we're expected to be.
Yeah.
Very, very
going through emotions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to me, that, you know, it's very boring that way. So I don't like to, I guess, tunnel vision. There's like in the motions. I really switch things up every day, every second.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I try to put myself in uncomfortable positions where I'm able to, next time I'm faced with something that's uncomfortable or difficult for me, when life brings it to you unexpectedly, which is what undoubtedly will happen.
Yep.
That's just life. You get thrown curveballs. You're able to manage them better. But I think it's just like, you know, practicing with yourself of how to manage stress and manage these uncomfortable situations in order to really succeed and be able to take ways and make decisions when other people can't.
Yeah, if you're able to do that, then you're definitely the pushing the needle.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, it's hard. You know, it's like – that's like people – I think everything that we talk about is always easier said than done. But the rules are so simple, you know. I think the rules are simple. It's just really – there's all these things that get in the way of life, and you're not able to – I'd say I'm a big believer of people put their own, like, downfalls on them. Like, you can have an event, and – you can either choose to grow from it or, you know, fall off, like what we're talking about. And it's you're not going to be able to control 90% of events that happen in your life, but you're definitely 100% able to control how you react to them.
Yes. I was going to say, I don't think you can control any part of your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe in manifesting?
Yes.
Okay, how do you practice that? And what does that mean to you?
I have many, it's just goals.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, I want a full beard, really full facial hair.
Yeah.
That really covers every inch of my face.
Yeah.
Cuz you know, I see everyone has a beard but they have bald spots under their bottom lip.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so if manifesting is real, then I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just it's just whatever. I mean, anything physical comes from the mind first. So yeah. That's just manifesting.
Yeah. So I think the placebo effect is so powerful. And people disregard it. Yeah. And people have disregarded it as like, oh, you know, it's just placebo. It's whatever. Like, I'm not getting the actual medicine that I need. But you being able to actually control your thoughts and emotions to such a degree of belief that I think has to be unfathomable, you know, like unexplained, just grand. And I think you can put yourself to it, you know, like I think it's very hard to be like, okay, I'm going to grow an extra limb, right? But I think in terms of like healing and getting your body, like, I mean, you see these monks, and they do incredible things. And they have such a great way of life, and the way that they are just able to sit down and just be so mindful and really in tune with their bodies is just extraordinary. And there's so much stuff that happens in life that distracts you. Like, I went to a rave in Orlando. It was called EDC, and I had such a great time. Oh, my God. It's so cool. I don't know if you've ever been to a rave before, mm-mm, but the lights and everything around you is just like, you feel like you're a kid again. Like, you're in a carnival, and there's all these lights attracting you to go and do these different stuff. But that's like life. There's always these lights and stuff in your face, but then you forget about, who am I?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who am I in this space right now? You just get lost. Yeah. You get lost in whatever life is instead of you grounding yourself and taking the time to be mindful of, how am I doing? How's my body doing? How I've been, how do I think, you know? Or the ability to not think is also, I think, great.
Because,
again, you, like Elon Musk has so, I'm sure he practices this. I mean, I have no proof of anything that he does or doesn't, but I'm sure there's a way that he is able to put himself in a space where it's like, I'm going to focus on this one thing because I have so many, I'm clouded by these, all these thunderstorms of ideas in my mind that I need to make the rain go away. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's cool. I think that's something that we need to work on society, and it should be more, like a mindfulness class, I think would be great. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people will like I know we had yoga in Emerson. I don't know if you were in my class or not, but like we would mess around and stuff, but it was cool. Like I actually enjoyed those classes because obviously I'm talking about it now, and I wish I would have done it more and remembered some of the movements for yoga, just because you're able to, it's a mindfulness of you and your body, which I think is great. And there's not much stuff now that gets promoted that makes you do those kinds of things. It's all kind of mental. Like, I mean, you go to school, right? And most of these jobs that they're setting you up for, if they even do a good job at setting you up to do them, is you're just using the mind, you know? And your body is kind of like this antenna or this radio. It's a machine. And if the machine is fucked, then how well are you going to be able to use, you know, your brain and be able to make good decisions and be able to be successful, you know?
Definitely, but I think we're in a progressive time. I think things are headed in that direction. But I think that a lot of things get, there's just a lot of charlatans or just like people that do it for the money. Like if I wanted to be a wellness coach tomorrow or today, you know, I just start posting these, hey, just go out for a run, do this, you're depressed. It's like you say you can every, like it's just like everyone knows what to do it.
Yeah.
And so some people are, they're going to either take advantage of that or, you know, and then it's only people that can't do it themselves that are seeking the help. If you want to get healthy, it's very simple. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows what they're doing wrong, what they need to be doing and stuff like that. It's just a matter of the individual doing it. And as we are now, I mean, it's just survival of the fittest, you know? Like,
yeah.
You ain't going to do it. You're not going to reproduce. No one's going to want you. You're not going to reproduce. Simple as that.
Well, I think the... And yes, and I think the way of how we've progressed, like, for example, war. I think war isn't as much you going down. I mean, of course, I mean, this is controversial, too, which is what's going on with Israel and Palestine. But I think most of the wars are fought, and they're very mental.
Yeah,
it's about psychological warfare and you being able to you know, build yourself. You are the weapon, and you are the sword. You are the blade. And... You know, sharpen it, you know, you got to refine it because, again, you know, you need to become the best version of yourself possible. And
yeah, I think there's two things for that. It's like, one, the weapons have gotten too powerful to even use them anymore.
Yes, yeah, so yeah, so it's all psychological. Yeah,
it's psychological, and the weapons are computers. So if you could just hack them, you won from across the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Two, the pen is stronger than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I can give you gold and I have 10 mercenaries now and they just signed a paper, I gave them gold, I didn't do anything, and now I have an army stronger than one person or whatever. It's like, if you can be diplomatic, that's stronger than carrying a weapon.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah. Which is, it's, yeah, I think that's what society is going into now. And learning the tools to be able to do those kinds of things is important.
Certainly that's where I have invested all of my energy into these days. I'm like, oh, I'm not, I don't see a future doing in a career.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. My
invest in myself. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah. Well, I think if you invest in yourself, the opportunities will come.
Yes, that's the point.
And if you're not ready to go out into the workforce or that's not something that you're thinking about, You need to, regardless, every day, find different ways to be the best individual that you can and provide value to the world.
Yeah, you hope so.
Yeah. Like, I've told a lot of people, I'm like, hey, like, I'm trying to look for value now as opposed to just hanging out and having a good time. Like, I need people that I'm surrounded myself with that want the same things that I do, think the same ways, or obviously, like, are interested in the same stuff, because if they think the exact same way, well, then it's like, well, you know, what kind of value are you getting, right? Exactly. It's just an ego boost at that point, right?
Yeah.
Or it's like, you know, that's where you get into political stuff, where it's like, yeah, blue, 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 red, 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 you know?
Yeah.
It's like the mob mentality.
Echo chamber.
Right, yeah, yeah, echo chamber, that's right, yeah, yeah. And well, that's not good. But if you're in the space and you care about the greater good and stuff, you're going to take value from anywhere you can and try to create your own ideas and thoughts and opinions on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. That's and I'll tell people, I'm like, well, I'm going into a friendship or a business seeking value. I do the same thing, and I hope that I'm giving value to people. Because if I'm not, don't hang out with me. You should be hanging out with other people that are giving you value. And I always think about it the same way. It should be reciprocated, right? We're here on this earth. We need to learn. We need to grow. If I'm not doing that for you, don't hang out with me. Go with people that are going to help you get to where you want to be. And I think that's part of growing up too, because I didn't think like that at all in high school. You know, I was just trying to fit in and be cool, and
exactly,
yeah. And I was just starting about reading stuff like you know, about personal development and growth, and it's my senior year of high school. But yeah, I guess it's just different because there you just want to fit in and feel validated, right? But then how are you growing when you're just going the same way as everybody?
Yeah, yeah. Right? I mean, you're growing, but you're actually, I mean, the reason, I mean, I was like that as well, and I think a lot of people are like that, is just because you aren't yet even in, like, on paper, an adult. Like, you aren't, some people will, but you aren't necessarily respected as an adult, treated as adult.
What age group are you talking?
Up to high school.
Okay, yeah.
Even till you're 18, even you know, till you're 21, people just still, like, count you off.
Yeah.
And so for a long time, I mean, you have to make the choice, which you made, to start picking up the self-help books, and then me to drop out of college, that, like, hey, I don't want to keep doing what other people are telling me to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, you can be an individual within that scope, but you're still, your scope of who you are is still limited in these parameters. And until you can break free from those parameters, will you have a truly unique perspective?
Yeah.
Because, oh, yeah, oh, I have this. So, yeah, and I don't think a lot of people don't ever get out of that, because, why I'm against careers, it's like, that's how I was going. It's like, all right, get good grades in schools. Go to APs and then go to a good school. Get good grades in classes, be well-spoken and treat people, like, with a certain way. And you do this, and then you'll be set the rest of your life. And you know this.
And you retire at 65,
With a nice house, and you got your grandkids, yeah, you got everything.
And
you're
on Social Security, woo, yeah. You've done your hours.
But, you know, those, I personally don't get along with those people because they bore me.
Yeah.
They bore me.
Yeah.
It's like, because they are, they're settled in what they have. They don't want more.
Yeah.
They never decided, hey, let me try to. This is what they're telling me. Why don't I try something else? Or blah 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 blah. And a lot of people never even develop that individuality.
Yeah, yeah. Or some people get so pressured, I think, by parents.
Well, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. That they're like, and I see this a lot with like immigrants too, where it's we sacrificed everything. I'm really lucky because I'm from the same background, but it's a different story for me. But, you know, they'll be like, we sacrificed everything for you to be here. You have to get a good job and work hard. And I mean, sure, all that's true, but the path that they're giving is not the right path all the time, right? There's so many paths to look at. And if you're being suppressed, and anyone's listening out here, you're being suppressed and you aren't able to, you have, because I think people deep down know what they want to do, but they're scared because like, oh, it might not pay well, right? Well, if you're already thinking that way, you're going to lose, because really money is only the, it's only the result of you doing something that you're so good at because you're so passionate about and you love it and you put the work in and the time in. And
well,
go ahead.
You can do something you hate and get money.
Sure. But I mean, I just don't think that's what, I don't, yes, the, you can.
That's not a healthy way to look at money.
Which is not a healthy way.
A huge part of or everyone's lives.
I feel you get controlled. You get controlled by the thought of that. And people get in these positions where they have a kid, they have a job, they've been working for 20 years, and maybe they come up with this idea and they just feel so tied up with what they are doing right now that they're like, no, I'm in too deep. I can't get out of this hole, you know?
Yeah. But to all those people, and to like, I think that the answer is, I mean, don't quit your job. Don't just like go 180. Yeah. But it's like, how are you spending your free time?
Yes.
Because that's, once you are the adult, sure, there are social expectations. We have to, if you want to maintain your job, you don't want to go to jail, you got to follow the rules. So do that. But once you're on your own time, we're in America, you can do whatever you want. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
And so that's your time to go and do stuff. And there's enough money in America where even if you work minimum wage, you'll have $50 left over at the end of the month. And that's on the very low end. I'm sure a lot of people are in debt, but still, like, you could take that $50 and find a way to make more money.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you're not, it's your own fault.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And I talked about to someone else too, and I like the beauty of sales. Because sales, you get commission. Mm-hmm. And if you're not and a lot of people are scared of sales because it's not consistent. It's not a consistent paycheck that you know how much money you're making. But I think that's also the beauty of it, because if you're putting in the hours and the work, that's going to reciprocate. You're going to see the different number on that paycheck, yeah, coming in because of all the work you put in. You know? So I think that's what I like about not work in a 9-to-5 job. And if you are in a 9-to-5 job, keep doing that. But in your free time, build that thing that you want to do. And yeah, I know that you know what it is. Everyone has it deep down. Even though you think you don't, it's in you. You've had enough life, mm-hmm, especially if you're listening to this podcast. You've had enough life where you have an idea of what you want to do, but you're scared to do it. And I'm saying, you can be smart about it. Keep doing the job, right? But then keep adding those stuff when you're free time. What are you doing? Yeah.
And little by little, don't overwhelm yourself and just learn it. Like, if you are interested in something, this is what I'm doing. Like, I'm picking up a leather craft. I want to get into like just have being able to build things, because
I love that so much, dude. You don't know how much I respect you for that.
Thank you. Because that just expands your world so much. And to start, I mean, I've just been watching videos and videos and videos of people making things. And now I know the techniques and stuff like that. And that's how you start. You look at other people, and then you dabble. You get the one tool you think to make something, and then once you do that, you can now add another thing, and once you have, it just compounds.
So yeah, that's it.
Just keep moving, and yeah, you need a plan, and you need goals, and that will, and then you can reach your plan. But I guess then most people don't have plans.
Yeah.
Or do you think they're just scared?
Both. So a idiot with a plan will always outperform the genius without a plan.
Yep. And the perfectionist, they don't come up, they don't produce any results.
They won't get anything done.
Because their plan is too perfect.
Yeah, yeah. No, you can't. Yeah, yeah. And then they fail. I know people, one of my best friends too at the time, he told me this and it stuck with me. And it's like, I'm like, why are you afraid of having these conversations like the ones that we're having now, you know? And it's like, well, I'd rather just be ignorant. I'd rather just, right? Okay, yeah. I love this guy,
it
right?
Makes sense,
but,
though.
But yeah, it's like blissful. It's yeah. blissful, right? It's like, yeah. I'd rather just not know and just
care.
Just... yeah, I just don't care. Like, to us, it's like, okay, because it's just like we've seen a different perspective and it's how we choose to look at life. But yeah. it's like, no, like, I don't want to be able to learn about all these different tools and stuff because it scares me. And I'm a perfectionist. That's what he said. And if I fail, I feel like I've failed everybody and myself. And it's like, I wish, and I'm sure I told them this, but I'm like, you know, there's such a great beauty in failing. It's mm-hmm. it's so beautiful. The fact that you now know that you failed, but you're going to become a better person because of it.
Yeah, I guess that's the tough part. They don't want to think about that second part.
Yeah.
They do the first part off.
They failed. Oh, let me go on a different thing. Yeah. Yep. I need to come up with this perfectly formulated plan. And like, same thing with the stock market. So my dad, he is invested in the stock market now, but he's a very big perfectionist. So he was like, all right, I'm going to use a simulator and I'm going to practice. I'm like, dude, just put $5 in.
Yeah.
Get some skin in the game. Just what's $5? Just put $20 in. You can buy slices now of shares and just play with it.
Yeah.
And fail, lose your money. That's fine because you're going to know. And of course, hopefully you're doing your homework and you're listening to all these YouTube videos because there's a huge wealth of information. I think there's no excuse for you to not be able to be great because there's so much information that's never been available.
Go to the library.
yeah. There's so many resources we have here that not these other countries don't have, which I think this is why this is a great place to live in.
Mm-hmm.
And fail, dude. Learn from what your mistakes are, and you're going to grow so quick. And then with having that mentor online, right, I think I guess I use the word mentor very loosely. I think it's just anyone where you are learning from. And
so I think it's more accurate to say role model.
Role model, yes. Yeah. I agreed. Okay, let's use that. Let's use that word.
Yeah.
And I believe a role model, and you can change this for me, is someone that you look up to. There's a way that they do certain things that you want to be able to apply in your life.
Yeah.
And maybe they're not very active in your life, as opposed to a mentor. He's very, he's there to every step of the way.
Watching over you.
Yeah, he's watching over you. So.
But I think what I like the word you said, which it really it de-escalates the fear of failure. Mm-hmm. Is play.
Mm-hmm.
Playing around with it. That's all really anything is. And if you have that attitude, Towers, if it's something you want to do, it's not something that's like, it's difficult. It's not something that's like a burden to you, though. It's like, I'm interested in this thing. So that's what you want to do in your free time. And so you don't have to make it out to be a you don't have to make it into a competition or like work or whatever. Just play. It's your free time.
Yeah.
Play with it. And that's actually how you get better results. And you'll get up after you fail because you're just playing around.
Yeah.
And you'll get so much better with that attitude.
Yeah.
You'll just keep going.
Yeah.
But play.
I think if you take it so seriously, you're going to get in your head and you're inevitably going to fail and not learn from it.
Yep.
Great example. A good friend of mine at the time, and he was so good at playing board games. I don't know why, but like Risk and all this other kinds of stuff, like Monopoly. He was so good at it. And the way he expressed himself when he put in this mindset of it's a game, you know, he was able to play around with it and he was able to articulate himself, or like Secret Hitler is another good game. And I was like, if you were to apply the same mindset in life, it's the game.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to look at it and so many opportunities are going to come showing up at your door. For me, my mindset I've taken is that life is business, and that's how I'm able to excel, because I'm able to apply the different things that I've learned. And for me, business is a game too. And it's about creating your network. Your net worth will grow as well, and vice versa. And being able to build and be creative. And
I don't see business as this rigid thing, but I've been able to, if I were to have thought like that when I was in high school, because this is a philosophy that I adopted very recently, I would, oh my God, I don't even know where I'd be right now, you know? It's just, I think you need to find that mindset where it's okay to fail and look at it as a game or business or life is art, right? Mm-hmm. These labels that you put, because to you, those labels will mean something different than to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And how you approach life, and you know what that thing is that you are passionate about, and you're able to look at the world differently. Like if you say life is like jujitsu, right? And it's like, and I think jujitsu is like chess, and you're able to learn all these moves, you fail, you get humbled because you're constantly learning that a 15-year-old kid can put you in a triangle and choke you out like this is very humbling.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like, okay, but I'm here to learn and I need to be able to grow and become better. And if you look at it that way in life, you know, it's like, okay, what are these different techniques or movements that I need to do, right? What are these steps that I need to do in my life to be able to then, you know, I'm humbled right now with the same mentality, but how do I learn these different toolkits of these different positions that I'm going to be in so that I do it enough times and it comes naturally to me?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that, especially now that because a lot of people grew up playing video games.
Yeah.
Where you gamify life,
mm-hmm.
you know, sitting in the classroom, 10 minutes left, 5 minutes left, or just like, you know, it's just
like, PUBG.
Yeah,
do you remember that was a thing, bro? Were you on that? I know you were on that wave, bro.
Just a little bit.
I was on that wave. Yeah.
Yeah. Took too much space on my phone, though.
Yeah, it was a big fat file. And then when people got Fortnite, I don't think my phone handled it. And then I was like, oh, man, dude, I can't hang anymore.
Yeah, no. But, you know, I have to ask you, though, if when you say to you life is business and then business is a game, that means to you life is just a game.
Yes, but me just going at it as a game doesn't help me, right? Like, if I think about it that way, I've always played video games and I'm awful at them. Mm. I'm really bad at, like, the dexterity of being able to move, like, the rapid eye movement and connection with your thumbs. And it's pretty impressive, you know?
That's my specialty.
Yeah. It's impressive, too, because it's so taken for granted because something might happen in your life where you're not able to use your thumbs anymore. And then you're like, oh, I mean, my mind wants to move this, but I can't, you know, just moving this because it's very fine motor skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've never been good at that. So I don't think of it as like that. And the reason is because all the books that I've read are very much business oriented. And that's how I live my life. I mean, that's why this podcast is pretty much who I am. Aviation, business, personal growth. And
well, I get that way of looking at it, but
yeah,
like you said, with all these distractions of all the bright lights, like
yeah,
don't just like that's why I see, you know, rich people or whatever, or they people who are retired or whatever, they have all of these things, which, you know, they've earned, but then this like, and then that's who they are now. Yeah. All of a sudden, they're the head of this company. This.
Yeah.
And then they lose themselves.
Yeah, or loved ones because they get so caught up in their work. And
yeah.
And so for me, my definition of business might be different than someone else's. And that's the one that I've adopted in my life that's worked and continue to work. Because
well, anything will work.
Yeah, yeah. And like obviously, if you look at me, I'm not always focused 100% on my work. I think part of my work as an individual is to go out and meet new people and make connections and make time for them and learn from them. So that's part of, I look at that as work and I love it. I love working. I love feeling like I'm doing something, right? And that's why I look at it in that business perspective. But to me, again, there's so much other stuff that comes that's very loaded behind the word business to me. It's not very cut and dry. Like I said, I think it's very much like an art.
True. So, I mean, you can... That's why when you say life is business, it encapsulates a lot of different aspects of things. Art and technique and strategy.
From my personal experience that I've been able to use that, because that meaning of that word to me is very different than from someone else who hasn't been in those spaces, or they are, but they look at it differently, right?
Yeah.
So that's why that has worked for me. But again, like I said, there's these certain words in your life, and your mind has to filter stuff. We are receiving so much information right now. There's so much light that's being bounced off around just visually, that there's so much shit, so much auditory, so much kinesthetic shit that goes on. If you're listening right now, you probably weren't even paying attention to what your foot's doing right now. It might be tapping. You weren't even paying attention because your brain has so much stuff going on right now that it needs to filter out. And that's why when you use these certain buckets or these certain spaces that you create in your mind to get into the zone of where you want to be, it's going to make you the most efficient person, I think.
I agree. And so that when my philosophy of what life is, someone said, texted me recently and said, hey, life good? Is life good? Think about it. How do I respond? Yeah, life's good sometimes. Sometimes it's bad, though. But, you know, it's been going good. That's the normal response. I like this. This art. You can either say, but I just said life's a thing. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Life's nothing but a thing. So, but if you want to, if like you're playing a sport, now you get into that sport mode. If you're in business, then you enter a business mode.
Yeah. And that different label or bucket or space changes as it requires, as the situations require.
But what life is, if you want to say life is good, if that's your philosophy, I'm always happy, life is amazing, then if all of a sudden, I mean, that means you're forcing yourself all the time to feel good. And if there's ever anyone in a bad mood, then all of a sudden you're like, hey, what's wrong, blah, 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 and you hound them over it, because it's like it's fundamentally wrong to them. They can't understand why life is not good, because to them, life is good. So if somebody's even just going through a hard time, which is totally normal, and they're letting themselves feel it, then someone with a completely very optimistic outlook on life can't even understand them.
Yeah.
They're very fixated on only looking at the good in life.
Yeah. And so that can go on to a whole different topic, which I'd love to go over.
All right.
I think society has really pushed the idea of, like, I'll talk to a lot of people and maybe they don't know what they want to do. And I'm like, well, what do you want to be? And the answer is happy.
Yeah.
and it's like, dude, what you were saying, life isn't always going to be happy. That might just be 30% of your life.
Yeah.
Right? And so are you going to throw away those great learning moments when you're down in the dirt, when you're down, you know, getting tunneled and pushed by the tidal waves, like surfing? Inevitably, you know, you're going to get pushed around by a wave, and there's a possibility of crashing into the rocks, right? But those few seconds that you're on the board, right? It's like, whoa, but it's worth it. But it's the whole experience together,
right?
And you need to realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just as simple, you can't experience what good is unless you know what bad is.
Yang yang, what we were talking yang, about. Yang. You have
That's
to.
Why, and so those yep, people, yep. And like you said, to bring it into this, our perspective of this world right now where everyone wants to be happy and they're putting their best images on Instagram all the time.
Yeah.
In order to maintain that feeling, I've seen two things. People avoid the risks so they don't ever feel the failure or feel bad, or I guess it's the same thing, but then they'll just always force themselves to feel good, and that ends up like taking drugs and even doing, you know, just doing bad things in order to do that, just completely ignoring the bad. But yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. It's about quick gratification. And that's, I think, what American society is leaning towards, which is not good. you should, I think, delayed gratification, and scientifically too, from what you see, is you're probably going to be way happier that you waited on that one thing. Like, you're probably going to be way happier that you didn't decide to eat a donut consistently for for a day, and you're going to the gym, and you see the results, right?
100%. I guess real quick to I had something to say about when you said people will just, my answer is, do you want to be happy?
Mm-hmm.
When I was hanging out at the downtown outside the Kava area, a bunch of people would gather there, so I ended up just like hanging out there a few times.
Yeah.
And there was this one guy who just looked like a Viking. pretty he was lean built and had long blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, and of course he was a Viking descent.
Oh,
and
really?
Oh,
shit.
Yeah. So I don't know, but we would just kind of get into talks. But then basically he's like, I could tell I was getting on his, like, I was catching his attention. And so he was asking these questions, but directed towards me. Like, everyone was standing in the circle, and he's like, I'm going to ask you all the most important question in your life. Are you happy? And then this one guy's like, oh, yeah, sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm not. And I was thinking about this, and I just watched the movie, The Ford vs. Henry, or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah.
The guy, when he finally won the race, and he's just, like, way in the lead, he's like, yeah. Ah, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. He's, like, so happy. And, you know, but then afterwards, he ended up dying racing. Mm. And I think it's because he was just like, you know, chasing that high, just feeling happy. But anyways, made me question like the whole happy things, like, because I kept hearing that at that time. And what is my answer? Because I already know emotions come and go.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can choose, because I know you can choose how you want to feel, though. You can choose to have a certain attitude or whatever. You can choose your state of mind. So I said, I choose serenity.
What does that mean?
I'll look up the definition.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, I just think, like, when you said, who has the most important question, you know, and it's happiness. This is the most important question. Are you happy? I like rolled my eyes when he said that. I'm like, dude, you're just looking at life. I mean, right. You get to decide how you get to look at life, which is the beauty of it.
Right. And you can't force yourself to be one emotion, one way.
No, you can't. No.
And so serenity is the state of being calm, peaceful, and untroubled.
Mm. I'm glad you looked it up. Very simple.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, being calm. But yeah, it's simple, peaceful, and untroubled.
Yeah.
That means no matter how shitty you feel because everyone's talking bad about you, they're laughing at you. Because if you can, you know, you're like, oh, that's not true. I know who I am. If whatever it takes for you to find serenity, if you are serene, it doesn't matter what's going on around you because you are content.
You're at peace.
You're at peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how I choose to be, you know, that's how I want to be regardless of what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you'd be a good philosopher, bro. And
yeah, maybe one day my works will be preserved for thousands of years.
You don't think it's a hard life? It's a hard life, but it's a good one. It's a very noble life.
Oh, as a philosopher?
Yeah.
Well, everyone lives life hard. The philosophers are the ones that put it into words.
Yes.
The hard parts. Yes. Comedians put humor into words.
Yeah.
Poets put beauty into words, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I think that's where I mean where the spiritual comes first before the physical. It's you take all these feelings, whatever these feelings are, and you're able to then manifest it, project it into the world. The more accurately you're able to do that, the more successful you'll be. I mean, clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
Like, that's, it was like, you know, Michelangelo could see the statues before he carved them out.
Yeah.
All the geniuses, Mozart could hear the music before he was writing it. That's that's I think the so far what I've seen as the peak of humanity, and which of course then I'm gonna aim for. So
yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So I don't see it as being harder or worse than anything else. It's just I like to focus on the philosophical, the more social norm. I just, you know, that's what I focus on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. You know, I'm not a comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right, dude. And I had this conversation. I'm going to lead it somewhere else eventually. But the only thing I think school is good for is when you get into a specialized field, there's certain words that you need to know. Specifically, it's called nomenclature. And that applies specifically to your craft, to your career, to your field of interest, etc. To be able to articulate yourself in ways and express those, like, words are so important. And to be able to convey your message very crisp, very cleanly, not just straight to the point, because sometimes, like poetry, if you go straight to the point, well, then that removes the beauty of it, the adventure of, but you have this arsenal of vocabulary that you're able to draw from, and
well, it's very specific then for what you're doing, right?
Yeah, but like again, like if you want to convey your message in like philosophy, I'm sure there's certain words where. And this is where it's really cool because, and I talked about this in this other podcast with Grant, is the state of emotions that we have or state of feeling are only as limited or as good as the language that you speak. And there's going to be different scenarios based on culture that different words will come up and are used in vocabulary that maybe the English language doesn't have, but maybe the German language has it or right. Mandarin has it. And is so important to be able to not just label how you feel, which, again, if you guys want to hear more about that, listen to the last podcast, but really conveying your message. And going off of this, I'm listening to this podcast, and it's with Lex Fridman. You know Lex Fridman, right?
Yeah.
I think we've talked about before. And he's talking to this guy, and it's Wolf something, and I forgot his name. But he created the simulation of the universe. His goal is to create a simple equation that from that equation, a computer can compute over and over and over again, and then you get quantum mechanics.
Mm.
And then it keeps building and building and building and building, and then you get oh my gosh, I'm forgetting the other – oh, relativity.
Okay.
And then you get special relativity, mm-hmm. right? And so all these theories that we have, they all come together just from the simple equation. But during the conversation that they had, they articulated themselves in ways that I couldn't understand and, more importantly, appreciate. Yeah. I wasn't able to appreciate on the level that these guys could because they had the exact same words or the exact right words to say to convey what was going on and the process of creating a space where this algorithm that's supposed to be very simple can create all this. Cause there's gotta be rules, right?
Right.
There's gotta be rules set in place and how do you define those? Right. Yeah. And that's what I learned because physics really is you look at the world, how it works. And then we try to put a way of explaining, well, this is what happens all the time. So if I'm able to take this formula that I created and I put it into something else where we can't replicate at some point, well, that's where all the hypotheses or theories happen because, well, a theory is something that's been tested well over time. So if a rule has been tested very well over time and then you apply it to something like the weight of planets, right? That's how we know what the density is of planets and their gravitational pull and all these other things because of that. But you need to have these special ways of communicating that I just wasn't able to appreciate. I mean, I appreciate the podcast a lot, but I definitely learned that the importance of language and especially in that realm, they had to go to school or, I mean, you don't have to, like you can find a mentor. And I always say you can find someone else where you can learn that or YouTube. But to really be able to articulate the stuff that's going on in your field of interest.
That's very true.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that? I kind of talked for a little bit, so.
Yeah, I was thinking, and then I kind of, I was going to kind of come up with a kind of a counterpoint, but.
Do it, man.
I countered my counterpoint. Oh. It's like, oh, yeah, this still falls in the same category.
Yeah.
I was going to say how my attitude is I understand that, but then how do you make things accessible to everybody?
I think YouTube.
I know, I'm not saying that, but even on YouTube, if there's something that's just like the words and it's so complicated.
You need someone else in person to
explain it or whatever. And that's why I like the idea. It's like, if you can't explain it to a fifth grader, you don't know it. And
yes,
if you are able to do that, it makes it so much, it makes it easier for everyone to understand. And that just makes more sense to me.
Yeah.
Because you know how to explain it complicated. Don't come up with a complicated explanation for in lame, you know, for somebody that's not going to understand. It's like, what, you're trying to make yourself look good by saying all these terms? No, talk to your coworkers that way.
Yeah.
But explain it to me. Use visuals. That's what makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that's how I operate. And my focus is in philosophy is like the mind, the psyche. And so how do you, and so I don't want to make it all complicated and use the code words, you know, the ones that they always say.
Sure.
And so I come up with definitions for these ways. And so it's like, oh, if someone throws out the word ego, right? So ego. And then everyone just starts tripping out, like thinking about all these different things that it can mean and the umbrella of it all.
Sure.
But if you break it down, like, okay, so now that this is how we're going to view it. It's just like, I think it's more beautiful when you can take a complicated thing and then extrapolate it into something that you can see.
Yes.
Because sure, like mathematical equation, K plus pi, X, blah, blah. It means it's these numbers, but what does it mean on a graph?
Mm-hmm.
A whole beautiful shape.
Yeah.
And so if you could just describe the shape, it's so much, you know, picture speaks a thousand words, so it's just so much. Yeah.
So I agree with you 100%. And I think if you, and this is a business thing, you have to relate how you talk to people and change how you talk to them based on where they're at in life. And let's say you have all these ways of explaining specific stuff from your field, but you're not able to change that into a direction where you could explain it to a fifth grader, you probably don't understand it well enough. But I've seen these videos on YouTube where someone, like, for example, explaining quantum mechanics to a kindergartner.
Right.
And then they go on and explain it to a fifth grader. And then they go on and explain it to a high schooler. And then they explain it to a college person. And then or a college student. And then they go and explain it to a professor, right, or a colleague. And the intricacy of how the conversation is being talked about at all those different levels is very beautiful. I think, of course, you need to know, you probably don't know what you're talking about if you can't explain something to different audience groups or target groups based on where they're at. But there's just some things of appreciation, ways that the more information and knowledge that you know, now that when you're explaining something, you're like, whoa, I appreciate this way more than what I did when you explained it to me as a fifth grader. Now, as a college student or a high school student or whatever, I understand this in a different level that I didn't before. And I think
I think you're just projecting where you're at in life, where you appreciate the high level intricacies of how advanced we are in our fields, and that's the level you want to be at. You want to be at the top.
Not exactly. I mean, I just think there's more ways to appreciate a conversation with someone that we define terms, right? And you don't have to define those terms all the time, because based on you growing up in that field, you already know what those definitions and associations are with that word. But like, for example, in business, you want to be cut and dry, dude. Like, you want to be as simple as possible and convey your message in ways that it's unquestionable what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
But again, it depends on your field, your area of interest, and the experience. Because when you get more experience, there's certain ways that you're like, well, what's the words to be able to explain what's going on here, right? And maybe you find that very intricate word, but again, if you aren't able to explain that same thing that happened to a fifth grader or a first grader, then you probably don't really know what happened, you know? Just because you're throwing these really big words out here, right? And some people do that. They throw big words to try to sound cooler or be cooler, where I think that's wrong. I don't think you should do that. I think it should be in a way to convey your message as best as possible.
Yeah, well, then, for you, for saying what you're saying, from what you appreciate, you're just saying to learn the terms in the trade.
Yeah, or anything that you want to really be, like, I don't know enough about, like, Socrates or Aristotle, and I don't know enough about ethos, logos, and pathos. You can explain what those are to someone that doesn't know what those words mean, but now that you have that foundation, right, you're able to explain things in a way more complex, that it's not you trying to, like...
So it's interesting. Those terms, they're simplified, but it's like... It's simplified for a smart person, right? Because it's like...
I don't think it's smart, though. I don't think it's smartness.
No,
I think it's experience.
To make it quicker, yeah, it's experience. You don't want to have to write something out every time, so you have a symbol for it.
Yes.
And that's why if you want to explain it to someone that doesn't know what the symbol is, then you have to break it down.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's just different levels to it.
Yeah. But I think that's why you're able to take a conversation way further when you're able to already know, like, oh, checkbox, I know what this word means, and I can hang in the conversation.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. So you're saying just as an individual, if you want what you said at the beginning, if you know more about it, you're going to just, like, have so much more appreciation for what is happening.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
And it's not, like, again, like, showing off with these big words, because politicians will do that all the time, which is unfortunate.
That's just like, why do things happen then? It's like, you know, because...
What do you mean, why do things happen?
Of course, if you want to know astrophysics, mm-hmm. then of course, to appreciate it more and more, you learn more, and so you can have these... You just learn more.
Yes.
But if you're just a basic dude that just wants to, like, that doesn't know anything, you're a fifth grader and you don't know space... You also need to be able to, like, that kid just, he doesn't want to dedicate his life to it, but he just wants to know what it's about.
Yeah.
You know, you give him the explanation. You don't give him all the symbols, the simplified, the quick version.
Yeah.
You give him the drawn out version.
Sure, but then there's different
ways.
They don't
want to appreciate it like you appreciate it. And that's just a different taste. Because
yes, agreed.
If it comes to a certain different subject, chemistry, that guy might be fucking...
That has no idea, right?
No, yeah. he likes chemistry, but not astrophysics. These two professionals in their fields, but all of a sudden when they start talking about their fields to each other, they got to dumb it down to a fifth grader.
I think they have to define... You know? Yes, because you have to tailor your conversation to the individual.
Yeah.
Or to the audience that you're speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important because, again...
So that's why I said you appreciate the high level. But your point was just being that, like, I guess you appreciate it more. But I think that just comes with the what you're going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe there's like a... Yeah, I think it just is... It's more what the person wants. And I just try to look at things very simply. Like, my favorite philosopher is Diogenes.
Okay. Yeah, tell me about him.
He was, like, the homeless guy in Rome that slept in under, like, a barrel.
Okay.
So some of his famous quotes are, like, this one will just explain him, who he was as a person. Alexander the Great came to, like, Rome or wherever he was at. Greatest, most powerful figure at the time, led armies conquering the world. And then he goes up to Diogenes. He's like, all right, I heard you're famous, like, you know, you're really well known around here. Is there anything I can do for you? And he's like, yeah, just move out of the sun. You're blocking the sun. You know, that's all he wanted.
Yeah.
And just back to the serenity.
Yeah.
It's
like bliss. Yeah. Or calm, really.
That's just what he was. He didn't care about anything.
Yeah.
So.
And yeah, there's different ways to view life, and based on where you go, it'll be different. I think when it comes to philosophy too, it's really an internal feeling. And when you go and like these monks,
everything is simply. Right. Yeah. And they have their philosophy for their way of life.
Yeah. And they speak very simply because it's like, you guys are making it, this life thing, way more complicated than it is.
Right.
Yeah. So I see that viewpoint too. Yeah. And I agree. And so it is definitely based on the way. Yeah, you're right. It is based on where you want to go in life, of whether.
That's where it all starts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then because once you want something, then if you really want it, you're going to put yourself in that environment. And then once you're in that environment, you're going to start picking up all the terms. And then now it's like you understand these conversations. You're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And then it all clicks. But that all started from you wanting to do this, you wanting to get to know what these guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Because another person would just be like, eh, that's boring, that's gibberish.
Yeah, yeah.
It would not care less.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, everything is a manifestation of everything we do is a manifestation. And yeah, you can choose that if you want.
Yeah.
Or other people are going to make it up for you, you know?
Yeah. And so I'd like to talk about what manifestation means to me.
Yeah.
Let me just drink some water real quick. Also, I just want to give a side note of like appreciation towards you. Like, I feel like, and I think one of the reasons I love hanging out with you is that we will always contradict each other's like viewpoints. And that's so important.
Yeah.
And that's why I love hanging out with you, dude.
Exactly. It's like, not boring.
No, it's not boring. Like, imagine if everything we were like, yeah, dude, yeah.
We'd
run
out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
Then we can never circle back.
What are we gonna learn? Right? Yeah, and like every time I talk to you, dude, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, even though I have a completely different idea, right, of how I look at something. And then this is what I've seen. When I talk to you, I give a viewpoint, you give me a different one, and then I see, is there a possibility of merging these two together?
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah.
How do we?
And I think we do such a, don't we do such a great job with that?
We do, but I don't know. I guess I've always felt this in my life where I never feel like my message gets across, or like, you want to say something and you want that person to just like go do it immediately.
Yeah,
of course
that's not
going to happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never feel satisfied, but, you know, I guess I'm, at the end of the day, what matters is that you say your truth, and that's all we can do, so.
And it's
good that we can at least keep saying that with each other, we're okay, we're not gonna fight over something.
But trust me, dude, like, when you say something, I take it so at heart, like, I literally put myself in your shoes.
You have to, but I'm,
how
but
else
you
am
know,
I gonna understand
but
you,
there's
right?
filters but there's
right?
filters
so
right?
there's only so much I can do, but like when it comes to like trying to see, okay, how is he formulating this, and then I always see like I don't see it as like a war of like my idea is right, you know, I see it as this is what he believes from his life, this is what I believe from my life. Is there a right and wrong answer? No. If I disagree with you, we've disagreed on a lot of stuff.
But I've
been able to connect those and merge them into what it means to me. And trust me, when I talk to you, I do apply the stuff that you say. Like, don't think that you just are saying words to me and I'm not using. Yeah, yeah. So I just want to appreciate you for that.
Yeah. I just, I guess, all right, let me change the topic-ish.
Mm-hmm.
I saw this thing recently. I liked it a lot. It was like the reasonable person adapts to the environment.
Yeah.
The unreasonable person makes the environment adapt to them.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the world is waiting. The world has to wait for the unreasonable person. Or you could also just say the unreasonable person creates life.
Yeah. And, oh, you're going to have a thought?
Not necessarily, no.
And I agree with you right now. And I see both of those together.
Me too.
I see.
I haven't, like, yeah, that's why I haven't come up with, like, yeah.
Okay, so
punchline.
Okay, okay, so maybe I'll go off with what I'm thinking and then you can add to it.
Yeah.
So I think you do need to, in some way, not adapt to the environment, but you need to, this is a visual representation of a tree. The tree is very stiff and there's a strong wind. The tree's going to fall over.
Yep.
But if it is able to sway with the wind, it stays strong with its, it's rooted to the ground with a strong foundation that it has, but it's still able to sway. Mm-hmm. So I see that. And then I see the other side of, I'm not going to accept things the way they are,
mm-hmm.
right? Like Elon Musk, I know he doesn't accept things the way they are.
Yeah.
He's always coming up with, how do I change my environment to adapt to me? Mm-hmm. How do I make it so that we as a society can get to Mars, right? Mm-hmm. And to all these different places, because the world is changing and it's adapting. But I have a vision and I'm going to change it into a way of recreate what's going on in my mind and go execute it.
Yeah.
So it's I think it's both of those factors that come into play.
Okay.
Yeah. Both are important. Yeah.
I think there are times when we have to adapt to the environment.
Yes.
But all right, okay, then I should say, like, maybe you want to. Because you really didn't want to, you could run, fight back, or, you know, whatever. But so that means we adapt when we kind of accept, we agree, like, all right, these are the terms. All right, I can adapt to that. I think it's when there's someone that's, like, unreasonably dictating things. I mean, not unreasonably, but, like, unfavorably for you. Then that's when people fight back, you know?
Yeah.
But also, it makes me think that, like, of course I'm reasonable, but, like, I see myself more as the unreasonable type, right? Wanting things to go my way or how I want them to go. So that means, though, whoever, it's like life is like a fight. It's like ego's fighting for the most unreasonable. That's what ego is. It's mm-hmm. unreasonable. It's the separation from the one. It's your individual truth, which is unique to you. And so somebody else's, they're going to clash regardless. Mm-hmm. And so that means the most unreasonable person, the one that's not going to crumble, like, no, this is the way. No, this is the way. It's like one is going to have to let up.
Well,
adapt to the others.
The lines can always be parallel, but I think there's a beauty where they can converge.
Right. I mean,
in a perfect world.
It could be, but I'm just saying in this world, it seems like, you know, everything is crisscross. Mm-hmm. So, and it's just like, if you want to make laws, if you want to make movement in this world, you're going to be holding your unreasonable truth against other people's unreasonable truth. And it's just a fight for who's going to give up first.
Yeah.
Who believes more in their truth than the other person? That's what, you know, it is. Like, it's a battle of egos.
But
and the biggest ego stands atop and dictates the
but
world.
Like, with our conversations, I never look at it that way. Like, I'm always here to learn from you. And I'll put aside my pride of what I think is right to learn something from you and be able to maybe apply it to my life, you know? So I'm always open-minded. Of course, it's hard the older you get because you get very rigid and unreasonable, right? And I think there's a time and place for those things. And I was actually going to mention that I think being more unreasonable is slightly more important because there will be times where you have to believe that, no, this is the right thing for me and my family or society, and this is how I think things should be done. So I disagree with you, you know, but that conversation.
See, yeah. But what you're saying is when you find yourself feeling that way, where it's like, I got to put the line down.
Yeah.
Right. that's when you feel like someone's ego is over bound, you know, stepping their bounds.
Never, dude. I don't like looking at it that way.
But it doesn't matter how you want to look at it. It's what's happening.
Yes, there's a lot of people out there that no matter what I say at them, they're never going to listen.
Exactly.
No matter what. It's like you're just a chat, you know, you're just another noise in the world. Right?
Yeah, you're just an amalgamation of everything. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just like, I'll take that. No, this. And they're just a mix of, you know, just an image of this.
I think that's what I am. I mean, I take the good from people and I build it upon me. And I'm a collection of people.
But where does your ego start, you know? Because
my ability to learn.
Right.
Yeah. That's where it stems from.
And where does your desire to learn come from?
My upbringing and...
Well, sure, that was gave you the Kindle to start the fire. But what was your fire that, like, I don't like how my situation, so I'm going to change it. Like,
yes.
But get more be as specific as you have come up with that yourself.
Yeah. I've been in points where I felt very low and very, very low in my life. A different country, that's a different story. And I felt like I had no say at all about my situation, but I was able to control how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to control to make the most of the experience that I had, because sometimes events they just happen and you can't do anything about it. But the way that you can choose to react, like we were saying earlier,
right? But these are still just like, you know, like, oh, you know, like,
give me a concise question, and I'll try to answer as best as I can.
Yeah, I'm trying to guide it there.
Yeah,
these are. I feel like I always get like some type of motivational response from you, right? But like, I understand, like, you came from that. A lot of people get that motivation, right, from a dark place. I don't want to ever be there again, or I don't want anyone else to feel that way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to change it. I'm going to change the way that this works.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you picked up the self-help books sometime during high school. So
it
was
around the same time.
It must have been, right? Something in your mind that clicked, like, I got to make sure that doesn't happen to me again.
Yeah, yes, but also be able to handle the situations better.
How? You had no control, and you said you still were able to control your mind and feel fine. So why does
not very well? But I knew I needed to find ways to do it better. Yeah,
and knowledge is your
just getting exposed to different ways of thinking. And being able to build up upon that. And like Mr. Welsh for me, he saw him as a really big role model. And I was like, well, he's so charismatic, good leader. He's able to hold himself in a way that I would like to be. What does he do? And so that's how my whole exploration of aviation came to be. Because I'm like, I'm sure there was these tools that he learned in that career field that he's able to use as his disposal to combat certain situations. So I was like, I need to learn that. So that's why I got into it. Yeah.
Dope. All right.
Yeah. What about you?
For what? My ego?
Your ego, or why the way that you think, or the way that you're doing stuff right now. And then,
I just want to know, I guess it came from a... When I went to the college dorms, I didn't have a good time. Not at all. And, like, I had, like, a year break before I went to college and whatever. And I thought I, like, you know, worked on myself or whatever. Just, like... But I still felt, like, anxiety, unsatisfied and unsure, no direction with my life. And so I guess I was and I went through a couple of ups and downs even like right before getting there to the point where I felt like I was ready or whatever. And I was as ready as I could be. I was, you know, a lot of these people are doing the things that I did in high school, right? Partying, whatever. Some people never did that. They go to college for that. Some people have, but I had to figure out what my deep unsatisfaction was. I wanted to conquer my anxiety. I think that right there probably was the start.
Well, you had to.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know how deep you want to get into it from the last podcast that we had, but I think you had to. You know.
What do you mean? I don't have to do anything.
Well,
that's where it came from. I have to do my homework. I have to do this. No, I have to. Yes, yes.
But
that's where it all came from.
Can I share?
I believe that I say now that I'm doing better every day. That's just a motto,
yeah.
A mantra.
Yeah.
But really, I do feel no matter what I do, I feel that serenity more and more. I feel that peace, that lack of anxiety, because I don't have anything I need to do. I want to, like, I have to, you know, project. It's just like I've really dug deep in myself and answered a lot of the questions that were bugging me that, you know, no one, we don't want to think about or answer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree. I'd like to go deeper into the conversation like we did in the last podcast, but we are running out of time.
All right.
But I'm so thankful that you came on to the podcast today.
I'm glad to talk to you. It's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. Yeah, we always have good. I always, like I said, I always learn something from you. So do you want to give people a way to reach out to you or?
No, please don't.
Okay, please don't. Yeah, Jack is, if you can provide value, then you probably find a way to find him. All right, well, this is Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, the From Ground to Great podcast with our amazing guest, Jack Harsel, and this is us signing out.